are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. You like football? We've got football. We've got more football than any other network out there, besides maybe the NFL Network. And, you know, we probably have more football talk than they do. Because are they talking about Cal and Hawaii? Probably not. We're breaking it all down. And I don't think the NFL Networks are giving you against the spread picks for tonight's preseason games like we are. Ted Savransky is going to join me straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Teddy Covers, who better to break it down with us? We'll touch on tonight's preseason games. We'll get his takes on the teams that are playing tonight. You know, his impressions of the teams through the camp, maybe some early leans as far as the season is concerned. Last night, it was like a bell, man. Hell's bells. For whom the bell tolls. Bong, bong. About 1 in the morning last night, it just hit me. The Detroit Lions plus 5 in week 1 are the play against the Indianapolis Colts. But that's we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. Warren Sharp's going to join us. We're going to run the gauntlet with Warren Sharp. You know, Warren, his name speaks for itself. He really is one of the sharpest guys out there. In our last segment of the program, it's either the beauty or the beast. And, you know, let's be honest, the way our luck is, it's going to be the beast. And that beast is the king, Scott Engel. The beauty is Triple X actress, superstar, Rachelle Ryan. big difference. Like, you really couldn't get any more different. Like, you know, like, honestly, well, how much more different could it be? You know, a hot girl with a big rack and a middle-aged white bald guy that looks like Hans Moeller. Like, there's, you know. Rachelle Ryan, super Giant fan. Scott Engel, super Seahawk fan, though. So, you know, it's all good. And Engel does know football, though, right? So, and that's pretty good. So, I think it's going to be Scott Engel. It might be Rachelle Ryan. Basically, Rachelle Ryan, she's a porn star, and she's in Vegas right now. And she said, yeah, I could either do today or tomorrow. My producer said, which day should we book? And I'm thinking, have you guys just started? Is this your first day into business? We're dealing with a porn star. You book her today, so when she stiffs us today, we try again tomorrow. we roll the dice the first time. You know, come on. We're fantasy people here. It's hard for us to get a chick, let alone a hot chick, to hang around with us. So, of course, she's going to blow us off a couple of times. We got to beg. please, come on, man. You know, come on. We need, like, the pity, you know, the pity appearance. But Rachelle will join us either today or tomorrow in the near future. She's in, but it might surprise you guys, but sometimes it's complicated to set up a time with a porn star. Just saying. All right. You know what else I'm saying? The NFL preseason is way too damn long, man. And I believe that the preseason counts. I believe that you can learn things about the upcoming season in the preseason. But you don't need four games. You don't need four games. You know, you're playing four games in a preseason. Look, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers have already played a couple of games. Aaron Rodgers hasn't taken a damn snap. He hasn't even been in uniform. I watched the Packers game, the last Packers game, Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines talking about ice cream and his diet all game. Like, really, you don't need four games. Yes, there are battles that are going on. And it's true in week 4 of the preseason, in the fourth quarter, it really is down to like two dudes. But those two dudes are like for the practice roster type of deal. You know, the coach is thinking, yeah, I'm going to throw this kid from Temple a bone. I'll put him on the practice roster. Everyone else is cut. Everything that really happens goes on in practice. And the fact is, we see more intra-squad scrimmages than we've ever seen in the past before. And this is where they really actually do play hard. They're not even playing hard in these preseason games. You know, the only reason we have these preseason games is greed. It's as simple as that. You look at college football. College football doesn't have a preseason. There is no exhibition season in college football. They come out of the gate, and they're playing big-ass games, man. No preseason, no exhibition games, and they're, you know, Alabama's playing USC right out of the gate. Bam. You know, FSU stepping up and in. Ole Miss. You know, there are big games out of the gate right away. There are no preseason games. I looked up the scores. I was like, you know what happened last year in week 1 of the college season? Yeah, Baylor put up 56. Ohio State scored 42 on Virginia Tech, a damn good defense. They put up 42. Tennessee and Bowling Green played 59-30. Now, listen, in the Canadian Football League, they play 18 regular season games, and they play two preseason games. Now, two might not be enough, although it probably is. Three, you know, we could probably live with. But the ultimate reality is the owners get, you know, the money. They get the same amount of money. They're charging you. I saw that the Rams, it's $80 to park at a Rams game. Yeah, it's a preseason game. It's still $80 to park. $80 to park. Yeah, I think people in L.A. are going to remember why you know, the teams left in the first place soon. But it's a cash grab. That's all it is. And this is why they don't want to put a lot of preseason games on TV. Because the fact is, we would watch. I told you, if Roger Goodell came to our house and pissed in our cornflakes on Sunday morning, you're still watching the games at 1 o'clock. So, you know, we would watch the preseason games. You know, they don't put them on TV too much. Because they don't want to expose the fact that the stands are half empty because it's so bad, even though people already paid for the damn ticket, they're not going. Here's a novel concept. Maybe you do what baseball did. Maybe you fill the stadium up with the troops. You have a troop night. I don't know. Maybe you give it to the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. But I know. That's just not in the NFL's DNA. And in fact, there's a better chance of Roger Goodell showing up and knocking on your front door and asking you if he can take out your garbage and mow your freaking lawn than there is the NFL giving away 80,000 free tickets preseason or not. But once again, it doesn't matter how greedy they actually are because we can't wait for a freaking kickoff. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live, and we are counting down moments to kickoff. We've got preseason football, dress rehearsal week in the National Football League preseason tonight. Only a couple of games on the board tonight, a couple of tomorrow. Full slate. Actually, a nationally televised game tomorrow. Malinsky joined us earlier in the week. We were talking about that Cleveland-Tampa game. That's on TV. And the Raiders and the Titans are a nationally televised game. Interesting spot, too, that kind of flew under the radar, but our boy Feinberg, who's a Chargers backer, he noticed the Chargers games on Fox, actually, Sunday afternoon, national television at 1 o'clock. They're playing the Vikings, and as we talked about with Amanda joins us right now, Zimmer doesn't lose in the preseason, and you got a Charger team playing an early 1 o'clock Eastern time kickoff in the preseason. Seems like a horrible spot. Oh, and oh, yeah, we got college football kicking off Friday night. So let's bring in a man that I know that's fired up, and I know a man that's probably very, very busy. I think he types away you know, in the late night hours in the garage. He's probably like a guitar player that's playing 18 hours. He's got blisters on his fingers. He's doing so many write-ups and predictions. Teddy Covers joins us. What's up, Teddy?
In my garage? I got an office, dude. It's nice.
I thought the, you know, in the last place, I thought the office was the garage.
Yeah, probably. It was certainly a place where, whatever, let's talk sports.
Yeah, exactly. At least I had a good time in your garage, Teddy. That's all I'll say. You know, it's good. It was the best garage in Vegas. All right, but hey, listen, the countdown is on right now, and you know, I've been prepared throughout the summer, so it's not overwhelming. The college football board is a little overwhelming when you look at it, though, Teddy. It's like, dear God, there's a lot of games. But we come out of the gate with one. I'm going to sort of take it in increments when it comes to college. You know, I'll deal with the Thursday. I've already looked at all the teams, but I'll deal with the Thursday next Tuesday. I'll deal with Friday, you know, next Wednesday. And, you know, the Saturday I'll be prepared for. I'll be in Vegas, actually, for week one of the college on Saturday. Couple of big games, but a lot of huge numbers as well on the board.
Yeah, and I mean, week one college football is unique in the sense that bowl season is unique, because for every other week of the football season, you know, the numbers come out on Sunday and they're there for the week and then they're gone. For here, week one of the college football season, you've got numbers that have spent, you know, they spent all summer getting pounded into shape. So what happens the final week before kickoff is that the numbers that have already been pounded, they tend to get pounded even more. And sometimes you can find some real good opportunities in the hour before kickoff in week one, betting against some of the the bigger line moves.
Well, you know what? Next week, we'll be talking about a full slate of college football games, Teddy. So let's talk NFL tonight. And last week, we talked about how each week in the preseason is its own mini season, essentially. We're into week three. This is the dress rehearsal. Yet it's been a unique preseason, in my opinion, Teddy. And I'm a longtime observer of the preseason in the sense that there are a lot of teams that are nowhere near ready to be playing real football yet. And I even question whether they're ready to be playing at a high speed and a high level in week three. Yet conversely, we've got some other teams. Like a good example, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played a damn snap. The New York Giants are sputtering. Their first team sputtering. Their second team sputtering. It's been a train wreck all around. And then conversely, you got Tyrod Taylor playing the first halves of games, looking great. Russell Wilson, a mega superstar, played the entire first half last week, Teddy, and got shut out. It's been a bizarre preseason, in my opinion.
Well, some of the teams you're talking about, the Giants, for example, have looked so awful. Are we sure about that? Are we sure that the Giants are, like, actually game planning? Because of course they're not. Is McAdoo calling his regular plays? He hasn't been calling his regular plays. They're doing their regular protection plans. There's been all kinds of odd things with the Giants in terms of play calling, in terms of personnel on the field. You know, don't be fooled. Same story with Seattle. I mean, the Seahawks have some issues. They have some real issues on the offensive line. They had issues on the offensive line last year, and Tom Cable's one guy who I trust to fix problems like that, or at least to make problems like that manageable. But, yeah, I would say they're not there yet, but I'm not looking at the Seahawks and saying, oh, man, they're going to be a mess for sure because they haven't been able to move the football effectively in the first two games of the preseason.
No. I think Russell Wilson might be running for his life a lot, but I'm actually pretty high on the Seahawks coming into this year. All right, so let's take a look at the games tonight with the Falcons and the Dolphins. The Dolphins are laying 2 points. The game's in Orlando because of the renovations going on at the stadium in Miami. It is sort of their first game, at home in the state, at least. Falcons are 2-0 in the preseason, but it's mostly been the second unit getting it done for them. I'm intrigued by this Dolphin team in the sense, Teddy. All we hear after every practice, it's like they're sitting on, they're sitting on the next big thing in the stock market. Oh, wait till you see what we've got. they keep selling stuff. We're running the practices so fast, it's unbelievable. It makes the Oregon Ducks and Kelly look slow. Everybody's wide open. Tannehill looks great. Blah, blah, blah. But they got pounded last week by Dak Prescott. But Tannehill did look good. The first unit looked good. I'm intrigued by this team tonight.
I'm intrigued by Miami in general. And, the Seahawks, the team we just talked about, have taken a whole bunch of money week one against the Dolphins. And if Miami ends up looking good tonight, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a fair bit of buyback on that game in fairly short order. So if you like Miami tonight, probably correlates with the bet right now on the Dolphins plus the points in Seattle in week one. But we look at this Dolphins team, and they're not going to have Pouncey tonight. They're missing their Pro Bowl center. They're not going to have Matt Moore, the backup quarterback, who got hurt last week. And don't forget, Tannehill's not just doing it in practice. Pro Football Focus spent a lot of time watching preseason and basically graded every player on every team in every game and came up with Ryan Tannehill was the single best quarterback on the field in the NFL last week. So there may well be hope for Adam Gase's offense in Miami. And the thought on Atlanta is, yeah, they're fat and happy. I'm not buying that either, with the 2-0 mark. Atlanta, first of all, they got Schaub, who's a backup quarterback who you want your money on. A guy who, if it's in the fourth quarter of a preseason game, Matt Schaub is well above average quarterback. Let's just put it that way. And, of course, last year and in most preseason games, more than half of these games get decided after halftime. It's not always about who the starters are. It's about who's going to be playing when the point spread is decided in the latter stages. You have no Matt Moore for the one side and you have Matt Schaub for the other side. That's definitely an advantage for the road underdog, even though it is a neutral site. Don't think for a minute that Miami gets an edge because this game's in Orlando. Dolphin fans aren't going to be going nuts for Miami tonight in this preseason tilt. They got to sleep in a hotel room just like the Falcons did.
Dolphin fans don't go crazy when the game's in Miami, Teddy.
You might think that fans that don't get to see games would be really excited.
Exactly.
About it.
You know, I was going to say, you might get a few hardcore Dolphin fans in Orlando. All right. You know what I mean? But I don't think Dolphin Nation's making the way up the 9-4. The old AFL, eh? The war on, remember? The old war.
The war on I-4?
Yeah. One thing, though, you're right. The Falcons, I don't think they're fat and happy either. How about one thing? Because I'm leading with the Dolphins tonight, but you raise a good point as far as the Matt Moore situation. You got Brandon Doughty coming in for the Dolphins. But how about Dolphins first half?
Yeah, I mean, Doughty was rough last week. But here's the other concern that I have with Miami is that Tannehill was perfect last week, and they lost the game by 4 touchdowns. and the Falcons spent all week saying, we got to create turnovers. You know, they haven't created a turnover in the first 2 games. They're really mad about it. You don't want to say, a preseason game, I'm going to predict you win the turnover battle. But Atlanta is going to make a concerted effort play after play to create turnovers. And if they're able to do so, they could do that in the first half, just as they could do in the second.
All right, let's talk about the Cowboys and the Seahawks game tonight. There's been some live movement with Dez Bryant being scratched. You know, there were 5s. I see 6s right now on the board. Total 44 in this game. When we talk about the Cowboys, it's all been about Dak Prescott. And this kid has owned the preseason. I mean, he's got more touchdowns than he does incompletions. He's done it 2 weeks in a row. It'll be interesting to see what he does tonight in the football game. And Ezekiel Elliott makes his Dallas Cowboy debut this evening. And I'm sure they want to, that there's talk in the office there that let's hold him out and roll him out against the New York Giants. But you can't do that. It's same thing with Sammy Watkins. I know Rex Ryan doesn't want to play Watkins in the preseason, but he was basically told by everyone that you got to take, we got to take a chance. You can't just drop him in a real game 2 weeks from now. We've got to go through the motions a bit. It's kind of like a kid on a bike. You got to take the training wheels off at some point.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% in the theory that you should be getting these guys some playing time with the first string offense when you can, if they're healthy. And even if it's just a couple of series, it beats the heck out of nothing when it comes to 2 weeks from now. But I mean, Dallas Seattle, it's another game. I mean, I haven't played Atlanta Miami, and I haven't played Dallas Seattle either. I think you can make a pretty good case against the Seahawks. As you mentioned, Russell Wilson played the whole first half last week. Okay. And they couldn't move the football. That's not an accident. And it's an offensive line that is a real sieve right now. And there's no continuity. Everyone's unfamiliar with the position they're playing and the guy they're standing next to. And they're shuttling guys in and out. And their goal, early in Pete Carroll's tenure was to win these preseason games. And boy, they had great depth, 3 or 4 years ago.
And now they're 5-1, actually. Yeah, they're like 16-4 in their last 20 still, regressing a bit, but they are like 5-1 in their last 6 week 3s.
Don't trust them. I
know.
I don't trust the
It's too many points to be laying, Teddy. In a preseason game, it's a lot of points, but even with this situation, and then we throw in the Dak factor in the second half, what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, Dak's looked real good. Miami didn't play well last week. L.A. They were talking after the game how they had a whole bunch of misalignments and miscommunication in terms of the formations. This will be a real defense. Seattle's defense in the second half of the first two preseason games had allowed a grand total of 1 field goal, and they have been pretty good on this field. And, of course, Dallas, they made it very clear in every season of the Jason Garrett tenure, this team doesn't care about preseason. They just blew somebody out at home last week. If Dallas is getting killed, they're not going to fight and scratch and claw to get back in this ball game. I can't lay it with the favorite. I want the dog. Easy pass.
Yeah, and you got Boykin on the other side, too. It's actually looked pretty good. Could be a late draft steal.
Went through a pick six to cost him the game last week.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Well, hey, Trevor Siemian threw a pick six. He's going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, which is why no one's betting the Broncos over.
Yeah, what do you think of that number, Teddy? Is it going to move from 3? The Panthers are now laying 3. Will it really go to 3.5, you think?
I haven't seen signs that it's going to do that yet. Let's see what the hubbub comes as week one gets closer. But
this game's in 2 weeks, man.
It's not imminent at any time.
This game's in 2 weeks, 14 days, Teddy.
Tick, 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 man. We're almost there.
Right now, the Panthers. Panthers know who their quarterback is. You know, they got that game circled, Teddy.
You think?
Yeah, I went down. I got it circled, man. I went down hard. I have it circled. I've only got a couple of minutes. Week one, though, Teddy, I was looking last night at its time. I was, you know, it's funny. I was looking at the board, and I was talking. I was sort of doing position rankings, and I was sort of ragging on the Colts. And I was like, what do the Colts have? And why are the Colts favored to win the division? The Texans are a better football team than the Colts. You get the Texans at plus 220, and it led me into the Detroit Lions getting 5 points in week one against the Colts.
Yeah, and you know the Lions aren't going to necessarily be a particularly popular choice in the betting community. Everyone's convinced, oh, Calvin Johnson's gone. The Lions weren't that good. They had such a bad
Jim Caldwell's no good.
Caldwell.
Yeah.
Nobody likes Matthew Stafford. You know, the Lions aren't going to get a whole lot of love. So that's actually one that I wouldn't talk you out of. At the same time, why don't you wait? Because I think that Indy might be in a pretty good spot this weekend against Baltimore. And if Indy beats up on Baltimore week three, you know what the markets do. They react to week three. So this five, you know, who knows? Maybe get a six. Maybe even get a seven.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't clicked yet. I'm hoping. I think it will go up. All right. We got less than a minute left. We've got a college football game, a real game from the land down under, Teddy. Friday night football from Sydney, Australia. Cal lays 20 against the Hawaii Warriors. Rolovich makes his coaching debut. 9 starters back on offense. Of course, it's the post Jared Goff era with Cal. Davis Webb takes over, former Texas Tech transfer. Any opinion on the game?
I mean, you're supposed to bet it under, in theory. I don't know that I'm going to get there because I think the game's going to be played at a pretty fast pace because Cal's still going to throw it around and do what they try to do. But, you know, Cal with a totally rebuilt offense, they just lost the number one draft choice to the NFL. Hawaii with a new coach and a new system and all that. Week one, you have an underbent anyway. The game's being played in Sydney in an odd location. That's under material, so all that stuff points towards under. But from a pace standpoint, boof, it might be a whole lot of plays in this game, and that could lead to some scoring.
Teddy covers with us. All right, Ted, we got to get out of here, but anything in week three preseason? You know, like the games tonight? Any good spots? You just mentioned the Colts. Colts in a good spot?
I would definitely take a look at Indy. You know, that game's not being played till Sunday, but I'll tell you what. I'm sorry, on Saturday. You know, I'm not so sure on Philly's A game as being particularly good. And for a 2-0 straight up and against a spread team, the Eagles look pretty bad in doing so.
You can follow Teddy over at coversexperts.com, sportsmemo.com as well. Follow him on Twitter at Teddy Covers. Teddy, it's always a pleasure, my man.
Hey, thank you, Gabe. Have a great day.
There's Ted Savransky with us. All right, we take a quick break. Warren Sharp joins me. We continue talking NFL football. All right, we got breaking news, not sports news, but breaking guest news. Rachelle Ryan will join us tomorrow. I know I shouldn't have told you, a lot of people right now click, they split. But you were wrong to split because Warren Sharp is joining us. And the King, Scott Engel. Gotta love Engel, man, the King. I was watching Roto Experts this morning, and he's actually wearing a T-shirt like with the King on it. Like, Engel takes that King banner pretty seriously, man. Like, he really, 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 really does. But of course, I was in New York last week with Engel. Engel's in the Fantasy Cup. And like I said, we told you off the top, it was either going to be Beauty or the Beast. Engel actually sat next to Lisa Ann last week. I actually requested in the Fantasy Cup. I said, just make sure I sit close to Lisa Ann. And, you know, I should never have said that because I ended up as, like, humanly possible far away from her. I was, like, on the other room. Like, I was looking out of her binoculars type of thing. You know, and she kept on picking all the players I wanted. All right, let's bring in a Warren Sharp right now as the countdown to football is on. Warren, it's always a pleasure, man. How you doing? Oh, we don't have Warren. I hear someone. I hear someone talking in my my ear piece here. What's going on in here, guys? Warren will be joining us in a moment. He was supposed to be Skype, and then I'm told, no, Warren's joining us on the phone, and now I don't know what the hell's going on. But nevertheless, we just, Ted Savransky just joined us, and every time Teddy joins me, and whenever there's games on the board, I'm always, like, less excited after the fact. I'm like, I'm all fired up for the Miami Dolphins, and he starts listing off all these legitimate reasons why, I don't know. And then you got the Cowboys. Cowboys are in a good spot getting 6 points tonight. But then, then he starts listing off, you know, very good reasons. It is true. If the Cowboys are getting pasted tonight, the game's done. But let's be honest. The preseason, they really are coin flips. And, you know, I've been frustrated in the fourth quarter on more than one occasion. And, I'm looking at this right now. And, you know, I was ready to take the Dolphins. I almost want to shift it up and go Dolphins first half. I actually do have confidence in Ryan Tannehill. I do have confidence in the Dolphins first team offense. Said tonight, I think they're going to want to shine. It's not an official home game, but they're in Florida. They're going to be more comfortable. Like I said, the players, not like, oh, rah, we're in Florida, but it's just more comfortable for them, you know, than flying to Dallas. You know, they're driving to Orlando. It's nice and chill. All right, we've got Warren Sharp stepping up. And what's going on, Warren?
Hey, busy day for me, busy week, but definitely happy to join you guys to talk some football here.
Yeah, we thought you were going to get some Skype. We thought you had Skype today. Are you in Vegas actually yet?
I'm not in Vegas right now, no, but just my schedule has thrown off the video element. I don't have the video set up yet, but I think this season we should be able to do the video, live video. Sounds like you guys have that capability now, so that should be pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll it's real cool. The Skype's a good time. So yeah, you speaking? It's the big Las Vegas Super Contest. What do they call it? Convention or whatever the hell it's called? But they got panelists and stuff. You've spoken before. Are you speaking this year?
They invited me to. Actually, I have a deadline for my engineering job next week that kind of precluded me. So I unfortunately had to turn Jay Cornegate down. Obviously, he was looking forward for me to come out there, and I was too. I had a good time last year at it. They do the seminar, college football panel, pro panel, and they just basically an hour on each, and they break down the games. They have a guy who hosts each panel and asks a few panelists some questions about the season. So if you're out in Vegas and you want to check it out, it's going to be Friday evening out in Las Vegas this Friday.
Okay, definitely, like Mark Lawrence. Actually, Mark Lawrence was with us yesterday. He's on his way. He's speaking. Joe Lisi's a regular guest on our show. He's speaking, doing college football. And you're right. For people that are there, even if you're not in a contest and you're not a handicapper convention, but they're giving futures and stuff. They're talking about teams and betting angles. So you actually will sort of learn a lot of stuff, and you actually get a couple of bets as well, Warren, there for people.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you this just completely bluntly and try to be honest as possible. If you're not from the area and you're not signing up for the contest, you have no need to go out there to do that, then I certainly wouldn't travel out there just to hear these people talk. The reality is they're going to share some information and some analysis, but certainly not going to share any – I've gone to many of these. They're not going to share any secret tips of the trade or, things that will blow you away. They're not going to spill all the beans to their secret sauce of however they do things. So it's nothing like that, but if you're in the area, if you're in town, I would recommend going and checking it out. Opportunity to see a lot of these guys in person, be able to talk to them if you want to, and check out the atmosphere. It's a pretty neat event.
All right, Warren, so let's talk some football, and I'm shaking things up a little bit because everybody, especially in the fantasy world that we live in nowadays, everyone always focuses in on the skill position players, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, running backs, etc. We talk a lot about defenses, but not a lot of enough focus is talked about the lines. And I'm an old school football guy in the sense I believe the football games are still won in the trenches. I do believe that the offensive line and the defensive line are the keys to success. They are the batteries, so to speak, of the automobile. You need it. It's like a drummer in a band. You can't have a crappy drummer if you want to be a good rock band. It's as simple as that. And you can't be a good football team if you don't have a good center. You can't be a good football team if you're not getting a pass rush And, you know, at least you're not, you know, pushing the pile backwards. So let's talk about some of the stuff that's going on. Joey Bosa of the San Diego Chargers. You know, Warren, last year, this is a defense. They're, you know, for the first half of the year last year, there were running backs that were running for like an average of like 4.8 yards before they're even being touched by the Chargers. They were the definition of soft. They had a lot of injuries, but as the season went on, they actually got tougher. They got better against the run. I like some of the talent that the Chargers have on their defense, but Bosa was supposed to bring some of that lunch pail, blue collar, you know, I'm going to get to the quarterback type of toughness, and this thing's just a mess right now. How much of an impact does this have on the Chargers' defensive line, in your opinion?
I think it's critical. I think it's pivotal because you're absolutely right. Defensive line and stopping the run is first and foremost. And if you have a team like the Chargers did last year who couldn't stop the run and who could not run the football, you're going to lose a lot of close games. They lost 9 games by one score or less. You're not able to salt away games that you should win in the fourth quarter because they couldn't run the ball offensively. And when they're down, they can't get the other team off the field. And that was their problem last year. They were absolutely terrible in run defense. Joey Bosa was supposed to come in and help out in that category. That was one of the strengths of his. And he's now, they're saying his entire season could be in jeopardy. I don't know if that's true. It could be just be, you know, like a deterrent to try to get him to come in quicker to sign something so he could play this year. But who knows what's going to end up happening there. They did get Brandon Mebane, who's a big acquisition, very good, tough player on the line. But you're absolutely right. If they cannot improve their run defense, this is going to be a team that is still going to struggle with time of possession offensively and with the ability to get that other opponent off the field.
Yeah, it puts Rivers in a tough spot where he has to be perfect and they have to score points in a limited amount of touches and limited amount of time of possession. It is. And, you know, they need playmakers. He was a playmaker. You know, we're not going to get into the debate of who's right and who's wrong and whether he should sign or whether the Chargers are screwing him or not. But the fact is, it doesn't help the San Diego Chargers very much. What do you make of Nick Martin going down, center of the Houston Texans? O'Brien loved this kid. Second round pick out of Notre Dame. They were raving about this kid like he was a 10-year vet, Warren, and now he's down and out.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the reality is he is a rookie. They had somebody else there last year, so it's not as tragic of a loss as if it were to occur, you know, and he was a incumbent player or it was the middle of the season. They at least have a couple weeks to figure out what to do, but they do have 3 of their starters along the offensive line down. I think Brown, their left tackle, is out with some type of an ankle injury that could be a little bit more long-term, but with regard to Nick Martin, you're absolutely right. They were saying that he was 100% immediate starter. He was smart. He was tough. And here's the big reason why it could be more of a factor people don't really understand for the Houston Texans than some of these other football teams. And that is Houston wants to run up-tempo. Houston wants to be a faster-paced offense. And when you have an offense that wants to get to the line of scrimmage quickly and execute a play call, that center has to re-diagnose that defensive line quickly and bark out the commands to the other alignment. You know, he's the one who is up there at the line of scrimmage signaling where they're going to be blocking. And so without a center who is in tune with the rest of the offensive linemen that works really well, has a good rapport with those guys, as well as is very tough and knows things, is very smart, and he's being lauded as having a lot of intelligence, that is going to really hurt the Houston Texans offense. And that communication along the line, as well as his chemistry with Brock Osweiler, you know, having been that number one center in camp and mini camp and now not being there the rest of the year, it is going to be a problem. It is going to set them back. It's something that they'll obviously have to get over. They'll have to adjust to, and eventually they will. It may not be as good as it was with him there. These first few weeks are probably going to be the most difficult. Once they can settle on a rotation and get a little bit more experience together, I think they could overcome it, but they're still not going to be the same. He was a very special player, obviously.
Warren, I've only got about 4 minutes left already, unfortunately. You know, you and I talked about CJ Anderson and the impact that he could have this year and what we expect to be a run-heavy Denver Broncos offense. Looking at the preseason thus far, here we are going into the dress rehearsal week, and Trevor Siemian, of all people, has earned the start in week 3. I don't know what to make of this. I don't think the Denver Broncos know who their quarterback is going to be, but we're officially 2 weeks away right now. 2 weeks from tonight, they host the Carolina Panthers. And I was joking earlier in the program, the Carolina Panthers know who their quarterback is going to be 2 weeks from tonight. And I don't think the Panthers care who the quarterback's going to be for Denver. They've got this game circled. What do you make of the quarterback battle in Denver right now? And if I ask you who's going to be starting in 2 weeks, who do you think it's going to be?
Well, I honestly think that there's no doubt Gary Kubiak and offense coordinator Rick Dennison wanted Mark Sanchez to be able to be that guy. You know, if Paxton Lynch is not there, there's no benefit in anybody's minds probably to having Simeon in there, who is clearly doesn't have the experience and clearly is not really the kind of the type of quarterback that you want to lead the defending Super Bowl champions into a repeat season. You know, you would rather have a guy like Mark Sanchez there if Mark Sanchez could just avoid the turnovers, avoid the fumbles, avoid the interceptions, and so, but they're not convinced that he can do that. And the reality in that division, you just have to make sure you don't lose the turnover battle. You don't have to score a ton of points in the AFC West, even though Oakland's offense could be better. You're going up against the Chargers, we discussed, going up against Alex Smith.
Yeah.
You don't have to do a ton. You just have to play good defense and keep free from turnovers. Obviously, they were able to overcome some things with Peyton Manning last year. I would still be surprised if it's Simeon over Sanchez. I just think Sanchez has more experience that would be the guy that I would want to be back there. They just got to get a quarterback whisperer in there, you know, do some magic or work some tricks on him, hypnotize him if you have to. But
you know what it is, though,
turnovers, I think he's the better use.
You know, I was going to say that, you know what, I think the same thing. It's like, man, yeah, they'll probably end up just going to Sanchez in the end. But from what I'm understanding, and I'm following it pretty closely, is that Sanchez isn't getting reps with the top offense anymore. And, you know, and he's a new component here. So, you know, that's pretty risky as well. I mean, put it this way. I think Sanchez can manage this thing. Let's not overreact because he turned the ball over in two straight possessions last week, although it was a nightmare in the red zone for them that he did it. But with that being stated, he needs reps, man. If he's starting in 2 weeks, to me, he's got to be starting tonight. And the fact they're sending Simeon, I don't know if it's a message that they're like, listen, Sanchez, we're serious that we won't start you. But whatever it is, it's a dangerous game the Broncos are playing, in my opinion.
It is. You know, obviously you want your guys rolling with the number ones who are going to be there together. And so you don't want Sanchez rolling with the number twos if then now he's going to be inserted into the number ones at a later point. I think they really want to see exactly what Simeon is going to bring to the table. They want to test him out a little bit more. They kind of know what Mark Sanchez is. They want to see maybe what the ceiling is for Simeon in the first 6 weeks of the season. And what could this guy do for us the first 6 weeks if we don't want to go with Sanchez? He's not going to be the long-term starter where they're going to get Lynch in there at some point, but can Simeon at least float on the ship for a little while without sinking it?
That'll be interesting. And then, yeah, you know, if you got Simeon, who's a no-name in there, then people are going to wonder, what the hell do we draft Paxton Lynch for? You know, listen, John Elway, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, especially coming off Super Bowl champ. So we got to get out of here, Warren. Before we do, anything in week three preseason catch your eye worth betting?
No, I think in general, I haven't really looked at it from that perspective. Obviously, studied the games and the matchups. I think the Cleveland-Tampa Bay game is going to be actually pretty exciting. I don't know about the total in that one, but there should be some good entertainment value, I think, from a fan's perspective in that game. And the one thing I'm interested in the Green Bay-San Francisco game is I want to see how Green Bay's defense does against those quarterbacks, because Green Bay has historically struggled against rushing quarterbacks. San Francisco has had a history of destroying them with their ability to run the football, so that game should be pretty interesting.
Warren Sharp, sharpfootballanalysis.com. Go to his website. He's got the Preview magazine, a complete comprehensive guide to the upcoming NFL season. You can get it in a hard copy magazine, old school fashion, or a modern digital format. Go to sharpfootballanalysis.com or sharpfootball over at Twitter. Thanks for the time, Warren.
You got it.
There's Warren Sharp with us. Warren's writing everywhere, man. He's writing at Fox Sports. He's a Roto Experts. Warren's everywhere. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Speaking of Roto Experts, the King, Scott Engel, joins us next. Game time. Live Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We'll have some picks for tonight's football games for you in a couple of moments' time. But like I said, Teddy is he's shooken my confidence. What a train wreck last night with our picks with the baseball. Holy crap, man. Porcello and the Red Sox, that fell apart late last night. It was a rough night. And hey, we tried. You can't see the Royals are plus 175 against Jose Fernandez. But Fernandez, this guy just, they don't lose, man. They don't lose at home. Now 27-2. All right, at home. Let's bring in a man that they call the King. And, of course, he's participating in the Fantasy Cup alongside his co-host and his partner in crime, Adam Ronis. The King, Scott Engel, joins us right now as his Seattle Seahawks take on the Dallas Cowboys tonight. Scott, it's always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Good. Just working hard, getting ready to write my next fantasy article for Seahawks.com today. You can check out my fantasy content out there all year long. And don't forget to get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at RotoExperts.com. Check out my latest Rank Center FNTSY for a special discount.
You know what? So let's talk some Seahawk football and talk about what you're writing over at Seahawks.com. I was talking about the Hawks earlier in the program, and it stuck out to me. I found it unusual that Russell Wilson played the entire first half last week, Scott. And then conversely, not only did he play the first half, but he was running for his life. He got sacked four times. And then I found it to be really interesting, actually, after the game, that Pete Carroll didn't put the blame on the offensive line. He said, we've told Russell not to try to do too much, and he can't take these hits and these sacks, but he chose to do it. And you know, I thought it was interesting for a preseason post-game presser that Pete Carroll basically threw Russell Wilson under the bus. I don't know if he was doing that to sort of protect the confidence, though, of the offensive line. I'm not saying there's any problems with Wilson and Carroll, but I don't know if he was trying to prop up the O-line. But what do you make of the O-line situation and the problems that they're having right now?
Well, he was sacked four times. Two of those sacks, you know, were on line configuration. You know, one time he had a running back against three defenders. That line still come together. But two of the other sacks were on Russell Wilson, where he didn't hold the ball too long, or it's a coverage sack. They were facing a very good Minnesota defense that they just don't match up well with. That they got a really good defensive line. They got an improved secondary. It wasn't a good matchup for them. And I think you have to be concerned when they face teams like the Jets this year, who have on the schedule with like a real good defensive line. Look, Tom Cable is an offensive line genius. When the Seahawks won the Super Bowl in 2013, that was the 26th ranked offensive line in the NFL according to Pro Football Focus. And they were really bad the first half of last year. Wilson was getting killed a lot. But, you know, eventually they put Patrick Lewis in at center and things started to gel. You know, that's what they do. They're not going to spend high draft picks on offensive linemen. They're not going to sign big-ticket free agents. They're going to leave it to Tom Cable to, you know, put together a cohesive unit the best that he can. And that's what they lean on. So, you know, there's going to be some bumps early in the schedule.
All right, you've got Russell Wilson. You and Ronis have Russell Wilson as your quarterback on your Fantasy Cup team. I took Thomas Rolls. I took him in the fifth round. I think that he's going to have an opportunity to get a lot of touches. What's his health factor like right now? What's your assessment of the running back situation?
Right now, they're saying that Rawls is going to be ready for week one. I think they're being cautious with him. Christian Michael has had a real rejuvenation preseason. You know, maybe Dorial Green-Beckham should call him about, you know, something, because he's going down the same career path. But C.J. Procise is going to make his preseason debut. And, you know, this is Russell Wilson's team now on offense, not Marshawn Lynch anymore.
Exactly.
Running game. And Procise is the type of guy that Wilson's never had during his career, like a Theo Riddick type player who can catch the ball out of the backfield and is good for fantasy too in terms of PPR. So I think Rawls is still the lead guy, but you're going to see some Michael, and TJ Procise, you know, is going to be a factor too on passing downs. And, you know, they might even split him out wide because he's got a background as a former wide receiver. This could be something of a committee with Rawls as the lead guy.
Yeah, I know. That's somewhat I'm concerned about because they all do something a little bit different. But it seems like they sort of want Rawls to be that guy. All right, we only got a couple of minutes here. But Ezekiel Elliott's going to make his debut tonight. I don't know how many touches he's going to get this evening. Where do you stand on him and where he's going in drafts? Is it just too risky to take a rookie running back that's never handled a snap in an NFL game before? Where this kid's going?
No, because you can't have that attitude towards rookies. Otherwise, you miss out on an Odell Beckham Jr. like in past years. It's not going to matter in week two that he's never played before. This guy's in the perfect situation. 2 years ago with DeMarco Murray, the Cowboys wanted to play heavy ball control, protect the quarterback, and keep the defense off the field. They're going back to what they wanted to do then with Ezekiel Elliott, who's even more talented than DeMarco Murray. In my current ranks on rotoexperts.com, I have him number two at running back and five overall. Perfect situation, superstar potential.
All right, Scott, before we get you out of here, I'm looking at your lineup. You see, you guys got Allen Robinson, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, CJ Anderson, Duke Johnson, Russell Wilson, Emmanuel Sanders, Chris Ivory, Dwayne Allen, Sammy Coates, Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West, Chris Thompson, Seahawks D, Mike Wallace, Graham Cano. Very, very impressive team. I like your lineup a lot. I wonder about Sanders, how many, with the deep ball, what's going to happen in Denver right now. But I took Sammy Watkins in the second round. I guess, what was it, 25th pick? I took Sammy Watkins. I was torn between Watkins and Cooks, so I'm interested to see what happens between Cooks, Watkins, and T.Y. Hilton this year, Scott.
I like Cooks and Watkins better. Cooks has proven he's more than a post and fly pattern guy. He can catch passes all over the field. For Watkins, as you well know, staying healthy. But I knew, Gabe, if it came down to a tough decision for you, that you were going to pick the darn Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I forced it a bit. Like I said, it's the only pick that bothers me on my team, Scott. I was like, man, should I have taken Cooks or Hilton instead? But, hey, Sammy was great in the second half of the year last year, right? If he can stay on the field, he'll put up big numbers. And we've seen Tyrod's looking great in the preseason.
Yeah, and Watkins improved his route running last year. That was a big difference.
Hey, Scott, always a pleasure. We encourage people to read Scott's stuff over at RotoExpertsSeahawks.com. You can watch him in the morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Thanks, Scott.
Always a pleasure, Gabe.
There's the King, Scott Engel, with us. We take a quick break. We come back with our plays of the day. It's time for our plays of the day, and it's funny because if I didn't speak to Teddy Covers a couple of minutes ago, I'd be all fired up right now telling you I love the Miami Dolphins tonight. I came in here loving the Miami Dolphins. I spoke to Teddy. Now I like the Miami Dolphins. I sort of like the Dolphins. They're okay. They got a shot tonight. I like the Dolphins, but maybe, you know what, we can be careful. I'm still going to take the Dolphins, but I'm going to take Dolphins first half as well. Let's add a little sprinkle Dolphins first half. I got confidence in Tannehill in the first unit to look real good tonight. All right, the Cowboys are getting 6. I like this a lot. We just have to hope that it's close at halftime. As long as Seattle doesn't get up like 14-0 or something like that, 21-0, we're okay. It's a lot of points, and we got Dak Prescott handling the load for us in the second half here. CFL football, Trevor Harris is back. Henry Burr's been a hell of a quarterback. He's had a great career, but Trevor Harris is a better quarterback than Hank is right now. Ottawa has no choice but to put Harris in, and they're doing that tonight. I think Ottawa win minus 135, and it's a lot of points at 57, but I think this game has track meet written all over it. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.